Now, is anybody here a fan of P.G. Woodhouse? Yes, there's one. Oh, there's you there. Right. Now, who is the character called Anatole in the Jeeves and Wooster stories? The chef. Absolutely right. He's the supremely skilled French chef of Aunt Dahlia, who lives at Brookley Court. And he's the subject of many attempts by other establishments to lure him away because his skills are so phenomenal. Now, does anyone know what the word Anatole means? Mark might know. He stops to think about it. No, it's the Greek word for sunrise. And it's actually the very word that appears in the Benedictus. So if you look on to verse 78, the tender mercy of our God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. And it's the word Anatole, it's the sunrise that comes there. There, what's being described is the tender mercy of God as the reason for the rising sun that comes from heaven. And so you see the link that Wesley knows between this, Jesus, and the Son of Righteousness back in Malachi. I once talked about this song of Zacharias and asked what was similar about Zechariah and Noddy Holmerson. And the answer was that they both wrote a song about Christmas. But these words appear in Noddy Holder's song. Do you remember this? There's all sorts of rubbish in the song. But the chorus goes, so here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody having fun. Look to the future now, it's only just begun. And that's actually what Zacharias said. Look to the future. It's only just begun. It's the sunrise as Jesus comes. The sunrise is about to happen in God's mercy. Look at what God is about to do. He's come to his people. He's brought them back from slavery. He's raised up a powerful rescuer, a horn of salvation, as he describes it, out of David's descendants, just as he said he would via the prophet long before. He provides freedom from the evil forces that are opposed, from all the enemies, from all those that hate and make life difficult for people to serve God. That's what verses 68 through to 74 are all about. And then we suddenly come to this bit in 78, the beginning, where he talks of the rising sun coming to us from heaven. And that can only refer to the Lord himself coming in the person of Jesus. The child for whom his own son will act as herald. The child about to be born to his wife's cousin. John is to be the herald preparing the way for this rising sun, who will come with healing in his wings, as we read in Malachi. 420 years or so before Malachi wrote about it. So where's the healing element in this song of Zacharias? Well, it's quite easy to see that, is it not? First of all, he redeems his people in verse 71. Secondly, he brings salvation in verses 69 through to 71. Thirdly, he shows mercy because he's the means of forgiveness, the means by which God forgives sins, which John is going to announce. Remember, God had promised that. He'd said, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. But even more than that, it's not just that he brings a negative form of freedom from evil influence around about us, but he gives us a positive freedom because he gives us something which enables us to serve him in holiness and righteousness in verses 74 and 75. Do you see that? Not only to rescue us from the hands of our enemies, but to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And that, of course, should be our prime objective, should it not? And it's the thing we find so difficult, because in ourselves we don't have that power. We constantly get it wrong. We constantly do get dragged down by the evil and influences round about us. But when Jesus comes, And when he dies and rises again and gives us his spirit, then we have the power. We're enabled to serve him as we should. And then not only that, he does another thing too. He brings light to guide our feet into the world of peace. Here's the sunrise shining on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, with all the evil that surrounds, and guides our feet into the way of peace so that we can walk the way that God wants us to walk. And of course, the reason we can do that is because he is the rising sun from heaven, which means he is God himself, the Lord himself who's coming. That's what verses 68 and 76 says. The Lord has come and redeemed his people, verse 68. And verse 76, John, my child, will be a prophet of the Most High, for you'll go before the Lord to prepare the way for him. And so right here we have the Son of Righteousness, Jesus, being shown to be God himself. And so you see here very simply how Jesus is the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy. The message of Malachi is fulfilled in Luke. And let me just pick up here on some of the points that Mark made last week, just to make sure we grasp these in our study of Malachi. Because these are the points that come across when you think of Malachi as fulfilled in Jesus. And the first of these points is that God loves you and treasures you as one of his people, if you revere him as Lord. That appeared, of course, in Malachi chapter 1, where God said in turn, I love you, and they question it. And then we saw in chapter 3, verse 17, that we're his treasured possession, if we revere him. And then secondly, we see that there is nothing that he will not forgive in his compassion for his children. There is no unforgivable sin. You can't do anything that will is not capable of God reaching out to you in forgiveness, provided you turn to him and seek it. He will spare his children. That was the message we got that we were looking at earlier. And then thirdly, this same basic point, the Lord will come to make us whole, to heal us. Chapter 4, verse 2. The Lord is coming, Jesus, to make us whole of forgiveness and deliverance. It's not just freedom from the past, it's also deliverance for the future, power to live for him. And then lastly, and of course this is the bit that hasn't happened yet, lastly, he will come and destroy all evil and put things right. Luke doesn't talk about that in any detail here, but when we come and look later at what he has to say in recording what Jesus says in Luke 17 and 18, you find he's very clear about it. And there's parable after parable where Jesus says, I will come again and I will put things to right. And Jesus' first coming at Christmas is the assurance of his second coming when he'll finalize what he's begun. This is the sunrise. The Son of Righteousness has risen with healing his wings, but the day of the Lord, in all its destructive power, is still to come. A lot of people ask why that is. If there's a God, why does he allow all this evil? And the answer is given to us. And I'd like to just return to it as we close our thinking here. In 2 Peter chapter 3, at page 1224. And verse 7, where Peter, who knew Jesus well, talks about what's going to happen in the future. He says, verse 7, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord isn't slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So the reason that God holds back and doesn't immediately come in and destroy all evil, the reason why he allows evil to continue, is to give people the opportunity to turn to him in faith and repentance. And he goes on then to say, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, something you don't expect. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And then this, and this is the take-home message for us, isn't it? Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So let's pray together. Lord, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And would you please enable us to live holy and godly lives in the light of your coming, to serve you without fear in holiness and righteousness all our days. So give us your healing, your forgiveness, and your power to serve you as we should. For Jesus' sake. Amen.